Bet you didn't think this would be the year you achieve the dream of flight. iFly Indoor Skydiving lets you experience the freedom and thrill of flying. No experience or wings required. iFly is fun for people of all ages and abilities, and it's the perfect choice for a night out with friends, family birthday parties, corporate events, or even just celebrating a Thursday. You'll never forget your first time flying. Go to iFlyWorld.com and use code TAKEFLIGHT for 20% off. That's iFlyWorld.com. Code take flight.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Since time immemorial, people have attributed various maladies and afflictions to dark, unseen entities which seemingly only wish to do harm and cause pain. The responsibility of exorcising these demons and spirits now often falls to the priesthood, which must use ritual and the invocation of holy power to cast out the malevolent spirits. Demonic possession is not only a Christian problem. Many other cultures and societies believe in the ability for malicious spirits to take root in or around a person and cause them pain or change their behavior in unexpected ways. Alongside the rise of spiritualism in the 19th century, which saw the widespread recognition of spirit mediums and a fascination with an unseen world beyond our own, there have also been those who have sought to attribute many of the symptoms of demonic possession to psychological disorders. What is the difference between a minor and major exorcism? Are the dark whispers that a person hears in their head simply a manifestation of dissociative identity disorder? When does a person know when it's time to turn from medications and therapy, and perhaps towards a higher power? Join Team ATT as we explore the history and study of demonic possessions.
G'day guys, you're listening to Demons and Shit. Case File 65.
Oh shit, Byron's back.
I'm back, here I am.
Exorcise the demons.
The power this of Christ compels you.
Is clean.
Repent and thou shalt be saved.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Byron.
What a fucking chore every time.
Every time. Someone's
Alien
gonna
Con,
fuck it up.
Only 30 days away.
The countdown has begun.
It's gonna be
30
dope.
Days. I'm so excited. Official ATT guest lineup. We're coming as fans, but officially it's going to be myself, old Daniel, Andrew, and Zell. Making the trek for Alien Con.
It's going to be quite a
time. Byron.
Nope, sorry, can't make it.
Byron's got some other prior commitments that have pulled him. Con next year for Byron, though, 100%.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, he's in. He's committing 1 year in advance.
Yeah. He's committing before we... Next year, Alien Con 2019. Byron for sure. Everyone else is...
He had to cancel some other stuff, but he'll be there.
Super excited about that. If you were thinking, you're ho-humming about going, you should go. We're going to be there Friday night in Pasadena. We'll probably set up a meeting.
What'd you say if you're ho-humming?
Ho-humming. You've never heard that?
I don't know.
Yeah, if you're homing. Yeah, if you're homing.
You're right. you're like ha ho
ho ho
ho. Oh, okay, ho humming. Right, that's not where my mind was going with that, but sure.
What were you thinking?
Ho humming. Ho humming. I'm just thinking like a cheap BJ. Cheap BJ.
What?
Did you see it? Did you see a chick BJ or a cheap? Cheap BJ.
She's a cheap one.
A cheap one.
He doesn't specify gender. He's not picky.
a ho humming.
We're all inclusive here at ATT.
You should come. We're going to go out for beers. We're probably real fucking hungover, still drunk for Saturday. We're going to take on the sights and sounds of AlienCon. Go out again Saturday. Sunday, we probably will be really fucked up trying to make our flights.
Mm.
Yeah. But on top of all that, I'm also going to be podcasting and recording pretty much the whole thing. So we're going to get a lot of good content out of it, too. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Anyone else that got any early news or stuff we want to talk about before we get into it?
I got news.
Okay.
I like it. That's the kind of news I can
It's
digest.
Summertime, baby. It's
breaking
warm.
News bulletin.
The snow is almost melted off the mountains.
Open bar, dude.
And we're podcasting. That's it. That's all I got. What do you want? You want to do X2?
No. Let's do some space news.
Space news. What you got?
So Stephen Hawking.
Nothing.
Stephen Hawking's final theory tackles the multiverse. So the peer-reviewed Journal of High Energy Physics, JHIP for short, published Hawking's final theory on the universe origin, titled A Smooth Exit from Eternal Inflation. So basically, it's his really simplified explanation of the multiverse theory. Came out after his death. I haven't read it yet. I just was reading about it today, and I was like, you know what? Hopefully it's really simple so I can understand.
I'm sure there's a simplified version you could read.
Yeah.
He said some stuff.
Well,
is it like those books for dummies? You can just open up and multiverse for dummies?
Something it's like a pop-up book.
Exactly. I read Neil deGrasse Tyson's like astrophysics for idiots or whatever, and I still didn't understand it. So I was like, "Damn it! I needed more pictures."
He got stuck on the first sentence. What is this?
Oh, that's the. Well, I thought it was like a Michael Jackson. I thought it was a Michael Jackson. Tee-hee. That's how I was reading every time. Tee-hee. I was like, he does this so much. I don't get it. It's hard to read like this. I'll do that from now on.
Oh, what about space news? We're going to the sun.
What?
We're going to the sun.
That's right. ATT is going to the sun.
Oh, yeah. We're going to the sun.
Sorry, guys. Can't make it.
Byron can't make it, but we're going to the sun.
Sounds like a terrible idea.
No. Who's going to the sun?
Alien theorists theorizing are going to the sun.
Yes, we are. We put our names in the Parker Solar Probe for free. I think you can still sign up for it.
Oh, right.
You go to their NASA's website, and they go ahead and let you sign up your name. They're going to put on an SD card, which they'll be sending into the sun. So that's kind of neat.
So you get your digital name burned up by the sun.
Burned up by the power of a 1 million nuclear furnaces. Pretty
by
cool.
By the yellow sun.
Burnt up by the sun already.
Yeah, I got a little burnt today, actually.
Going out in a blaze of glory.
That's cool. True.
Does it get any hotter than that?
Just get back to the bloody moon already.
Let's get back to the moon.
How about let's go to the moon, all right?
No, we're so much better than the moon. We get to go to the sun because, the sun's the star.
Yeah, like we are.
But the problem with the sun is you can never come back.
You never actually get there. You'll burn up before you get there.
You make it to Mercury. at least.
We're all Stardust in the end. It's all good.
No big deal.
Oh, that's pretty much all I had.
That's had a quick SpaceX update. SpaceX targeting 24-hour turnaround in 2019.
Oh, I saw that.
For its Falcon 9. So they want to conduct two launches within 24 hours in 2019. And it's pretty crazy because it's not only that they have to reuse the engines, then everything else that goes along with a launch has to be done in 24 hours, like loading it, transporting both shipments, refueling, the whole thing.
That should teach Air Canada how to do that.
Speaking of Air Canada, it is rated the worst airline in the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, really?
Really?
Wow.
For customer service and canceling flights and all that stuff.
Good job.
What is
lucky
Air Canada?
You guys. Yes,
our government subsidized airline is rated the worst in the Western world.
Listen to this. So I flew Air Canada to go down to BFest and for Mother's Day on the weekend.
Yep.
Our flight there, they call us up and they're like, hey, our tickets were $150. They're like, hey, so we've overbooked this flight.
Yep.
Do you guys want to get on the next flight at like 3 hours from now? We'll give you $400 each.
Oh.
So I'm like, well, they couldn't get us to our destination, so we had to be like, well, no, we don't want that. Then they're like, okay, $800 each. And I was like, well, we still got it. We still have to go to Kelowna. Like, we got to get to Kelowna tonight. So, no, I can't. And then I was like, this is crazy. Like, they were about to give me, what kind of business model is that? I spent $300 on tickets, and they were about to give me $1,600 to get on a flight 3 hours later.
It's because they're trying to buy their way out of the bad press.
Every single plane or flight is usually overbooked.
Or canceled.
Expecting for people to not show up so they get extra money. And then they have a full plane anyway.
Hmm.
So that's when people actually show up, like your flight then. That's when that happens. They're like, well, that didn't quite work this time around. So here's the money that we got spare from the last few people.
Crazy. Anyways, quick segue there. Any more space news?
No.
No, I got nothing either.
Nope. All my stuff's on the metaphysical plane right now.
All right. Is the X2 still operational?
Yes, it is.
Still going?
I got some cool new books, but I don't think they're compatible with the X2. And to be honest, they just would look really cool. So they're really cool, like leather bound, like alien books with cool symbols. I posted some of them on Instagram, but probably won't work in the X2. Anyways, let's plug this thing up. I'm going to fire it up right now.
And stop.
All right. I've got Avely Essex CE4 case. Oh, it's a fucking long one. Hold on, I got to fucking... myself here. All right.
I hate that random shit.
Jesus. All right. In October 1974, Elaine and John Avis were abducted on the outskirts of their village, which is just outside the Greater London boundary in Essex. Essex. I have used the generally accepted pseudonym for these witnesses, although their real names are now very much in the public domain. What's the pseudonym? What's the generally accepted pseudonym?
Whatever he wrote in the book.
Oh, okay. Well, how do I know that's generally accepted? Anyways, since I have not been able to ascertain whether this was with their permission, I have stuck with the pseudonyms. The couple were returning to their home by car with their three children. Early in the drive, they saw a light in the sky, which they discussed, but by which they seemed not to have been greatly perturbed. Shortly after this, they drove through a green mist covering the road. When they arrived home, John switched on the television to watch a program he was waiting for, but was amazed to find that the broadcasting had ceased for the night and it was now 1 o'clock in the morning. They have identified a 2.5 hour missing time period. Many of the incidents in this case mirror the Betty and Barney Hill abduction in America of the early 1960s. Afterwards, there were recurrent nightmare dreams of being in a room with small alien-type creatures, and these led them to UFO researchers to investigate their case. Under hypnotic regression, the family revealed that they were taken out of their car with a floating sort of sensation. They were led into the UFO. There was a medical examination, and later they were led back to the car to go on their way again. There appear to have been some subsequent changes of a spiritual nature to the family, and it has been suggested that John has increased his skills in the artistic areas.
That's pretty neat.
Which type?
It is understood that the family also has reported psychic experiences and apparitions. The Avely encounter is acknowledged to be the first British abduction to be explored with the use of hypnotic regression. So it's fucking hipster aliens.
Nice.
You're picked up, and next thing you know, you're down at your local coffee shop on your typewriter.
Typewriter.
On and doing some finger painting. Yeah.
He's awesome at painting your own pottery.
Yeah.
Can throw me in clay pot.
Stupid.
Ghost.
Could be. Right. That's a good one. Missing time's always fucking nuts.
2 hours of missing time, though. But
that's a lot.
It's weird.
I'm already missing an hour of time since we tried to start this podcast. So what's the blessing?
Yeah.
If you combine up every podcast we do, you're about 65 hours of lost time.
I would say for every podcast you record and listen to, there's probably a good hour, an hour and a half of us doing fuck all.
Nothing.
Every time we're like, okay, let's record for 7. I know we're not recording to 8:30 at least.
No, today we said record at 7 and we recorded at 8.
It wasn't bad.
But today,
an hour.
You know, it used to be worse though. We're getting better, surprisingly. Oh,
it's prep time. There's like there's prep time in there. Or it's got as no.
As
it's
we
got
did any prep.
Better.
We drank beer. We drank beer and then kept saying, "If we're gonna," everyone in like a rotation went, "Well, I gotta get another beer if we're gonna sit around." Oh, I gotta piss now. Well, hey, if you gotta piss, I gotta piss.
That is preparation, though. That's
yeah.
It's like warming up an old diesel engine. Gotta get it running.
It's because it's like we're talking about demons and shit. So, like, when I talk about that kind of stuff, it's usually a hard topic for me. So, I usually have to have at least 4 or 5 beers.
I guess that's true.
Right. Sally's older.
Bring on the demons.
Yeah, I just climbed over the 30 mark. I have to drink more now, feels like.
Oh, yeah. It was, I didn't even wish you happy birthday on our Instagram or anything. But it's Ryan's birthday over the weekend. Ryan is 30.
Goddamn 30.
Woo.
Yeah, woo.
I feel great, though. Gotta say,
good work.
Yeah,
30 is the new 20.
It's all that candy,
and I got as usual for my birthday, just so much candy.
Awesome candy.
You know what I noticed though in your whole spread? Very few McCormick candy bananas. Dare I say zero at all?
No one bought me a pack. A little disappointed in that, but I made up for it with other things.
Did we discuss these before? McCormick candy bananas? Are they marshmallows or are they like, what are these?
No, they're like,
they're 100% not real anything.
Are they like the ones you get in Runtz? Did you guys eat Runtz candy? Is that like those bananas?
Those Runtz candies are like powdered sugar hard candies.
Yeah, I love those things.
Those are not, those ain't got shit on McCormick candy bananas, marshmallow bananas.
What are they're marshmallow, that's what I said. They're marshmallow bananas.
You got
right?
Banana flavor.
Well,
They don't even taste like
banana flavored marshmallows.
They don't taste like banana.
They're not that soft.
Ew, are they like peanut? Are they like those circus peanuts? Those things are gross.
They kind of look like packing peanuts, actually, a little bit. yellow packing peanuts.
Kind of.
Okay. Gross.
Do you guys have Barney bananas?
Barney bananas?
Yeah, it's an ice cream. It's like a paddle, like a ice cream.
Sorry,
stick.
This is Case File 65 candy.
Candy.
What the fuck is this Barney banana? He's back.
It's Australian. It's just like your, I don't know.
Like a character, like a Tony the Tiger.
Well, you know, it's legit. No, it's an icy pot. Like it's a fucking ice.
It's a popsicle.
Ice cream on a stick. Yeah, popsicle. That's what you guys call them. And it's a guy.
What do you call him?
What do you call him?
Ice cream.
Icy pops?
What?
I don't know. No, ice cream is soft, and then popsicle is hard.
Oh, no. Well, this is a soft one. This is soft. Like a soft ice cream on a stick.
Oh, creamsicle.
Sure.
Oh, creamsicle.
No, I guess. Creamsicle, I think of like the orange and the vanilla. That's what I think of the creamsicle.
You guys have like paddle pops?
I guess.
No. What's a paddle
pop? What are all these fucking weird names?
That's another brand.
I'm very curious about these new
Case
candies.
File 64. Byron says weird names.
Losing shit. It's the demons inside me coming up with weird shit.
Yeah, you've been possessed.
Right. Oh, man.
The fucking candy monster.
Speaking in tongues, you can't understand anything he's saying. Like, it's definitely a sign of demonic possession. That is one of the signs.
All right, Dan, you want to take us, you want to lead us down a venture here?
Let's hit it, right? So, yeah, we were talking about talking about demonic possession and exorcisms. Now, most of the people have seen The Exorcist. I haven't because it's too scary for me. But most people know the kind of rituals that go into an exorcism. You know, you got to call it. If you got a case of something, you know, if there's a spooky ghost in your house, you know who to call. It's not going to be the Ghostbusters, but, you know, you usually call a Catholic priest, right? Yeah. You need the old priest and the young priest, and you need to get the holy water out. But there's actually a lot of protocols and stuff behind all of the thing, for like everything behind it. And it's actually it's all written down. And like they've had cases of demonic possession since like mid to late 1500s. Like you can trace it back that far, or even farther back if you talk about other kinds of just, you know, spiritual possession, things like that. But as far as the actual church, Catholic Church is concerned, they didn't actually have a standardized protocol until the 17th century. And they actually established it during the after the Council of Trent, where they actually all the church rituals were refined and codified. And this was the actual where they had the rite of exorcism. They put it together. So it's actually interesting in the point that it establishes protocol for exorcising a demon or an evil spirit from a person, but it also establishes how to observe the difference between somebody with a mental disorder or if this is a psychological malady as opposed to a spiritual one. So it's not like they go straight to, you know, it's a demon. Yeah, you know, which I think is pretty interesting.
Quick, okay, when we talk about demons, are we going by about like a Christian, like a fallen angel cast out with Lucifer, like demon? Is that what the demon demon is?
As far as this one, the exorcism is mostly the Catholic Church actually identifies kind of demons not so much as these, you know, the hoof demons. They got goat feet and tails and spiky little horns on their head, but these are life forms that don't have a real corporeal form, that they're formless in our sense, and that they don't actually occupy space. It's so much that they can influence and they don't really be. It's kind of one of the weird things that they have about the demons, where they say like they can actually possess a person, but they don't actually occupy any space according to the church.
So they're more like there's some type of like light being, interdimensional being. They don't actually have a physical form.
Yeah, you could interpret it that way. Sure, I don't have a place with the Now, do you guys know what the word is? There's an actual word for a person who is possessed by a demon or devil. I didn't know this. There's actually a word for it. Do you guys know what it is?
No.
No.
Not a clue.
Energumen.
Say that again?
Energumen?
An energumen. Yes. Energumen. You are in it. Yes, you are an energumen if you are possessed by a devil or demon. Is the actual term for it. I didn't know that.
Now, what's a demigorgon then?
A demigorgon.
That's on Stranger Things.
I know, but like, is that part of it? Is that a demon? Is a demigorgon a demon?
No, I think a demigorgon's a monster. It's not so much like a demon.
It's got a physical form, yeah.
So it's a demon that's taken a physical form.
Yeah. I don't think it could be closer to it. I'd have to look it up in the D&D core rulebook, but I don't have that with me right now.
I just relate everything
it's in there.
To D&D.
Yeah, if you go into the demon lore in D&D, that's real fun. That gets real.
And probably way more interesting.
It probably is, actually. So anyways, ritualized exorcisms go way, way back, but not only did they make the rites and stuff in the 1600s, they actually reviewed them and revised the rite of exorcism in 1999. They actually changed it. They changed some of the terminology and they went through all of it. So it's not like the church like let the exorcisms fall by the wayside. I mean, it's kind of neat to see that the church still believes in it and they still practice it. There's actually they've seen evidence of the number of exorcisms is on the rise in the United States. Like right now, I think at this point there's like a qualified priest from the Catholic Church, in one for every of the 50 states.
Huh. That's weird.
Weird.
Well, and it's so weird because like I wonder, like, and they must have tests for this and stuff, but like, I wonder if it's due because a lot of like this, you know, the southern states and stuff are really religious. And then like, you know, you have people have like, you know, get diagnosed with schizophrenia or like psychosis, like in their early 20s and stuff. And a lot of them always are like, I'm getting whispers of thing, people telling me to do stuff like demons and stuff like that. So I wonder if that's where that comes from. Like,
yeah.
And more of that.
And that's a good point too, because there's a lot of kind of in controversy as to trying to define or identify demonic possession versus something like a psychological disorder, such as like multiple personality disorder, or they call, what is it, dissociative identity disorder, and.
Yeah, you're saying, Dan, that like in the they revised it at the church. In their definition, you mentioned that there is a difference between the mental and the spiritual. Do they talk about what the difference is and how they test or define the difference?
They talk about mostly that it's being able, you have to be sure. So there are codes and protocol for kind of the, they advise like their priests to approach the problem with a actual psychological specialist, like to go in there with like a therapist or a psychologist or somebody in it.
Yep.
And not just go in there. You don't go in right away believing that this is a spiritual
situation.
Problem.
Yep.
Yeah. You have to go in there and at first kind of take everything in and kind of assess the situation, and if it looks like it's an actual something that should be solved with the rite of exorcism, then that's the way you want to go. And if you want to go that way, that becomes a
that's what when they you would be the protocols and stuff.
Well, yeah, that's what they would identify as a major exorcism. Now there are both minor and major exorcisms, and the difference is that minor exorcisms are for protection. Usually you invoke the name of Jesus or God.
The power
and those
of Christ
are,
compels you.
The power of Christ compels you.
Well, minor exorcisms are asking for protection. Those are baptisms and things like blessing holy water.
Mother
and
then you have things, in hell.
Yeah. Then the actual major exorcisms.
Fuck me, Jesus.
The major exorcisms deal with that shit.
Dan's just crushing Dan right here, knocking him out with exorcism quotes. What was the girl's name? An exorcist?
Oh,
Emily Blair?
No. I can only think of
Something. Linda Blair.
Because the exorcism of Emily Rose is a different one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry, Dan.
And the... Yeah, so major exorcisms are driving demons from a person. So the exorcist is a major exorcism. And they can be both the ones where they possess people and then where they actually inhabit an area or a house or something like that. That's what they define as like an infestation. And the priests who perform these major exorcisms have to be given permission from a bishop before they do it. Which is kind of neat. So it's like you got to get...
What is the bishop... What does he know?
Well, bishop's the higher up on the god rank.
He wears a cooler costume.
He's like the level 10 paladin, and the other guys are like the level 5 paladins.
Right, okay. I get it.
Okay, I get it.
And he also has a way cooler cloak and a better staff and hat.
It's true. Yeah, he's got higher DPS.
Yeah.
He's got higher damage.
Yeah, exactly.
More spells. More magic spells. When you hit level 20, you get the holy hand grenade. It's all good.
Oh.
But the weird thing is like, exorcisms aren't only isolated. They're not just isolated to Western culture. Like, they've been around everywhere. In a survey of nearly 500 societies, it's been found that more than half of them have beliefs that some type of spirit can possess a human being.
Yeah, I did read that. It's not just related to
Christianity.
Catholic, whatever.
Muslim, religions like
whatever it might
voodoo,
be.
Voodoo.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get the voodoo ones, even Taoism in China, there's a lot of belief in there. A lot of the Southeast Asian and Asian religions are extremely big into like spiritual possession, like a spirit can go in and inhabit a body. I know in Thailand, that's always kind of a worry, or it used to be, that when a child would like, when you'd hit your head, and that's why I kind of have a thing about touching people's heads, is like that's where your spirit resides, and that if you were to disturb it somehow, you get hit in the head or something like that, a spirit could make its way in and then take control of your body or inhabit your body for some time.
That was another thing I never really understood is, say, okay, we're humans and we exist here, and there's these demons which can like whatever penetrate through dimensions or through time or whatever they're doing. So who do they pick? How do you become a target for one of these interdimensional fucking
beings,
savages?
Well, as far as it goes with the Catholic Church, there's kind of some ambivalence on the subject of how people get chosen. There's kind of two ways that they think it can go, or it's kind of hazy. But the two ways in most of the like biblical literature is that either it's since God controls everything, he sends demons to like, they can't take control of a person without divine permission. So it's like they're sent as a punishment to people.
But then...
And then...
Right. So he's double punishing some people?
Yeah.
Then he's going to cast them to hell? What a fucking asshole.
Well, then there's the other side. The other side believe that it's the work of the devil. Like, it's Satan's prerogative to destroy all the works of God, so that the demons that are sent out are his work, not specifically, you know, not God sending.
Well,
you
that would
punishment.
That would make more sense. Mm-hmm.
I guess,
right? If he wants to destroy and stuff, it doesn't make sense. God's
but
like,
then
I want all these people to worship me. You know what? But fuck that guy, though.
But if you're really worried about it, some of the things you might want to avoid are things like necromancy, the use of evil amulets, living a sinful lifestyle, which I guess that could be interpreted broadly. Also, worshiping false gods, witchcraft, soothsaying, and satanic worship. So those are the things you might want to work out. And you might want to watch out for witches, because witches can apparently summon demons, too. So
I think witches are cool.
So if you're cool with the witches, then you don't need to worry about it.
I mean, we do have maybe a demon in the studio sometimes. Sometimes it gets in through the fucking electricity and makes some weird interference here, but...
If shit happens again in this one, I'm done. It's the last you hear of me.
Yeah, never coming back.
That one freaked me out.
Why don't we go through... Because you can look up all things on the internet, this is great. WikiHow has three ways... How to exorcise your home or dwelling.
Exorcise the demons.
So, method one, you need to know when an exorcism is needed. So, number one, what you need to do is you need to keep an eye out for typically paranormal behavior in your house. These are some things to look out for are moving or disappearing and reappearing possessions, especially similar objects or the same object. Electronics turning on or off. Ghost footprints, which I have at my parents' house all the time. Strange noises or voices. A feeling like you are not alone ever. Often combined with chills or sudden fear of panic. That's so weird. Imagine
never alone. Imagine, you're going to take a shit and it's like, I'm not alone.
And then you're just hearing a strange voice. You're not alone. Man. Extremely hot. Oh, really extremely hot or cold places? Weird. This fucking room I am in is extremely hot. I had to crack a window.
This room we're in is a little bit cold, man. The AC is really cranking
in
here.
It's delicious.
It's awesome.
Number two, rule out the obvious causes of otherworldly noises and issues first. Houses, no matter how old, all settle over time, people. Pieces shift and groan, boards move, pipes whistle or bang. Older houses do this constantly, and this is not an exorcism is not needed. Strange odors or smell can come from leaks or trapped moisture. Open windows and plain bad communication are the cause for most missing objects. Not spirits.
Where are my keys? I don't know. Where did you put them? My house is possessed. I can't find my keys.
Number three, take an honest appraisal of your own health and stress levels. It says like if you're really stressed or your mental health is going, maybe you shouldn't. You don't need an exorcism. You need some special help. Number four, ignore the alleged spirit as much as possible, not even giving them a passing thought. If there are spirits, they need to, spirits need to feed off your attention. They're little whores, right. Looking to make themselves known. Ignoring them generally keeps them in check if they are actually present. But how fucking stupid are these things? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean, Byron? Like, if you go down to, you know, your old lady and be like, if she's just ignoring you, do you just leave? And you're like, well, I know she's trying to ignore me here.
No, I'll annoy the fucking shit out of her until she responds.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Number five, if you're still unsure after the first four steps, have a religious leader, medium, or psychic examine your home. Next, performing a home spirit cleansing. Protect yourself by wearing a spiritual talisman. But make sure it's not an evil talisman, or this could this could be going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, backfire.
Firmly ask the spirit to leave, avoiding anger or fear. Try out the Latin rites as well as Ec Crucis Signum Fugint Phantasmata Conca.
I'm sure translates that's exactly how you say it.
Yeah, behold the album of the album of the cross. Let all specters flee.
That's cool.
Let the spirit know that you mean it no harm, but that the physical world is not their place anymore. Assure them that the spirit world awaits them and they will be safer in the spirit world. Remember, spiritual possession is not necessarily evil. Most spirits are simply lost, confused, or still clinging to life, and you just need to murder them for once and for all. You can light a sage smudge stick and carry it around the house. waving it in a clockwise motion.
Interesting.
Does it say now?
Clockwise
the
way you're holding or the way they're looking at it?
One second here. This is something I got to ask because this comes up a lot. Sage is supposed to be the protector when you're doing like Ouija boards and anything like this. Why Sage? And why does the spirit give a fuck if it's going clockwise or counterclockwise? How did people come up? Where does this come from?
Trial and error, mate.
They just keep, well, if trial we do it, error. If we go left or right, it doesn't work. You go right to left, it works.
Doing figure of eights. Figure of eights were aggressive. Too much waving going on.
So it's like this is the one thing. Maybe there is demons and shit, but why do they care which way is what? Anyways.
Ask him.
He's like, the smoke from dried sage actually changes the ionic composition of the air.
Says who?
Says mindbodygreen.com.
All right, can't argue with them.
Demonologist,
yep.
Where else are we?
Step 43.
Spread holy
Give
water.
Give us a call and we'll do a Ouija board.
Yeah, we'll set them straight. Yeah. Spread little holy water. This is stupid. Leave kosher salt. Leave out kosher salt or raw rice.
Kosher? It's got to be kosher salt?
Yeah, it's got to be blessed by a rabbi.
Wait, is all kosher salt blessed by a rabbi?
Pretty sure. If it's kosher, it's blessed by a rabbi.
Is that what kosher means?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like halal.
That's okay.
Halal is being
I've been naive my whole life. I just was like, yeah, kosher. Yeah, I know what that means. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
Kosher means blessed.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought kosher meant like how it was raised or like grown. For some reason, I always thought that's what it meant. But
pretty sure. I'm
like, that does make sense that it's like part of a religion. So it makes sense that the rabbi would have to do something to it. I get that. But I thought.
Yeah.
It was
it's like it's not blessed, but it's satisfying the requirements of Jewish law.
Okay. So it's a religious thing. There's no scientific
the law?
How you grow it or anything.
The definition, according to Google, is satisfying the requirements of Jewish law.
There you go.
Yeah, but what's the Jewish law?
Okay, kosher meat must come from an animal that chews its cud and has split hooves. So cows, sheep, goats are kosher. Rabbits, kangaroos, and foxes are not. Sorry, Byron.
No kangaroo. Man, kangaroo's not too bad, actually.
Kangaroo is absolutely delicious. They're bloody missing out. Sorry, Jews.
Kosher fowl are identified by a universally accepted tradition and include domesticated species of chickens, Cornish hens, ducks, geese, and turkeys.
Hmm.
And you cannot eat any predatory or scavenger birds. And that's pretty much it. All utensils used in slaughtering, cleaning, preparing, and poaching must be kosher.
How the fuck do the demons know? And what does that have to do? How do you make kosher salt? Salt doesn't have split hooves, Dan. If you're about to tell me salt comes from animals, I'm gonna lose it.
How is kosher salt? Keep going.
How is kosher salt kosher?
It's kosher salt. Salt is a naturally occurring salt.
Naturally occurring. That's what I mean.
Kosher salt is a coarse grain salt made from the salt crystals. It is usually not iodized. But some brands may contain an anti-caking agent. It's got nothing in here to do...
So what happened? Was the rabbi fucking just cast a spell and it's kosher?
No, in here it's got nothing to do with that. It's just someone's using
it. You think like a rabbi goes into like a rice factory and just says kind of like a blanket prayer when it opens? He's like, all rice from here is blessed.
for the next 3 years,
yes.
It's good to go.
Possibly, yeah.
He's got to come back every 3 years.
Hey, I'm not bashing religion, but if you are religious and you believe stuff like this, you should just question why you believe it. That's all I'm saying. Like, why does this rabbi have the power to make this kosher and no one else can? And what's kosher in the first place?
Yeah, he's no different than you.
Maybe he's had some education, some study to find out
to what makes it kosher.
Laws. Yeah,
Through
that he's
no had, any salt can be kosher if it's produced under kosher guidelines, like kosher supervision.
So no blessing needed.
Something, yeah, but it's not because of Jewish dietary guidelines that kosher salt got its name. Kosher salt's original purpose was to kosher meat, We need to remove blood from meat. Oh, okay. So that's what they use it for. Koshering is to remove. Yeah, any meat that doesn't have blood in it. Like your meat can't have blood in it. So that's what makes its kosher. I forgot.
That's what makes more sense.
So that's why it's that really coarse salt is to draw that stuff out.
And they scrape it off.
Yeah. So the kosher salt is for koshering. That's what it is.
Oh.
I see. Okay.
But how do the demons.
Yeah, what do the demons
what
care?
What is it for in demons? Oh, it's because it's like absorbing?
Maybe
it's draws them in.
Wait, I got another beef here.
Sodium ions, man.
Here's another beef. You know how they say when like if you want to like keep out evil spirits and shit, you're supposed to put salt on the window.
Yeah.
But now you're putting salt on the meat. But then the demons still come through. Like, what's going on here? The salt's got to be either good or bad.
It pulls the demons out of the meat.
How'd the demons get in the meat?
I'm just saying,
demons are in all the meat.
Salt protects against demons, so if you salt your meat, you're protecting against demons? That's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Sure. Salt your meat? Are you talking about...
Byron's pointing down low, and it makes it delicious. I don't know why. What are you up to on your own?
Salt your meat.
Leave the podcast for a couple months and fucking... Who knows what he's up to?
Just make sure...
Anyways, we're going on a huge... You know us in religion. We ask questions, and this is one.
Hard questions.
Going back to the steps, though, I am happy to see that they're actually asking you to question it and just make sure that it's not the old bloody plumbing squeaking around and whistling and whatever. That they're actually making you think before jumping to conclusions. Do some investigation and make sure that you're not just going a little bit bonkers
before you have one of these exorcisms, like I'm about to tell you, that goes awry. And someone dies, make sure this person is actually possessed.
Yeah. It's good. Like a lot of this stuff, especially when you get down the religious path, people can just go crazy with it and then just go, nah, has to be demons, blah, blah, blah. Let's go. Let's start bloody bathing this house in holy water or whatnot. So it's good to see that they're actually telling you to maybe think before you start salting your house.
Yeah.
And if exorcism doesn't work, if the holy rites don't work, it has been actually shown, or at least in 1924, Dr. Carl Wicklin, this guy was a real practicing psychologist in LA, and he published a book called 30 Years Among the Dead. And in this book, he documented verbatim conversations with spirits that he had using his wife as a medium. And in one case, he actually said that, said and recorded that they used electroshock therapy to dislodge the malevolent spirit, to move the spirit out of the patient so that his wife could medium between it. And they actually managed to calm the spirit. Like they said, like the spirit was, this certain spirit was a spirit of like an alcoholic and had taken control of this patient or possessed this patient and made them like consume alcohol, so turn them into
the demon was an alcoholic.
Yes, the demon was an alcoholic. What was the spirit of it? we'll get you some electroshock therapy, clear it right up. just jam a fork into a light socket. No,
I got one of those portable jump starters.
Oh, one of the defib. Yeah, just hit him with defib.
Yeah, just put them on your nips. Put them on your nips.
The nipples.
I'll turn it on real quick.
Okay, I got an exorcism story.
All right.
1973, 23-year-old German, Annalise Elizabeth Michael or Michelle? Michel? Underwent a Catholic exorcism that would eventually lead to her death a year later from malnutrition and dehydration. The priest responsible for the exorcism and Annalise's parents were found guilty of negligent homicide.
Damn right.
At 16, Annalise was diagnosed with temporal lobe epilepsy. In 1970, she suffered a seizure and was prescribed medication. Soon after, she began complaining of seeing devil faces and hearing voices telling her she was damned and would rot in hell. As soon as I read that, I just got a really vivid image of David Putty from Seinfeld with his devil makeup going, the devils! Devils!
Go devils!
We'll beat anyone! The devils! Yeah! Annalise then began self-harming. She drank her own urine 8 insects, which sounds like Bear Grylls.
It's sterile, and I like as the taste.
As well as showing aggression, a priest said she was possessed by a demon. After her first exorcism in 1975, her parents stopped medical treatment. After 67 sessions over 10 months, Annalise died, having been in a semi-starvation state for a year and unable to move from broken legs.
Because they're trying to beat the demon out of her?
I think so, yeah. But like to me, like 16, like so she was normal, 16, 17, 8, like they say what, 18 to 25 is when like fucking mental illness really sets hold if you're going to get it.
That's a lot. Like that's sure. That's usually like early adulthood depression is like around that time if you're gonna get it.
Dude, that's so fucking weird, man. That's one thing they never taught us in school. Like, hey, some of you guys, when you're about 18, you just might fucking drop off the deep end. You're just something's wrong with your brain.
Yeah, it's very true. Like I know from my school, I had like a small school, 2 people in my year level cap themselves, 18.
Yeah, they don't really...
And that's the thing, like a lot of these... a few of the readings I found, they were talking about epilepsy a fair bit popped up with these old demon things, so...
Well, yeah, that like the scientific thing for like possession when you see those people like that are like chained to the bed but their back is arched and they're like almost breaking through their chains and shit, or their restraints. And they're just going crazy and they're screaming and their neck's going all crazy. That's like a fucking seizure.
Yeah.
And then, well, I've got another story about possession here, but this one's from a, this one's back from the 1920s actually. And this one took place in China, near Shanghai.
China.
This one was observed by, Peter Gilyart, which is actually, he's a pretty well-known Russian author. A lot of his, he wrote in Russian, but a lot of his stuff is only published in English, and he has got a bunch of books about, he lived a long time, like he left Russia to go live in the East and Southeast Asia, and he had one where he observed an actual Taoist exorcism. Apparently, like a farmer had become possessed by what they identified as two spirits, and they took him to a monastery a little ways outside of Shanghai, and there they put him on the bed to, you know, practice the rite of exorcism. So the abbot there invoked the Shangti, which is the supreme god of Taoism, and he commanded the spirits to leave, and then shit started to get real. So this guy said that the man cursed at the abbot in a voice that was not his own. It sounded shrill, mechanical, like a parrot trying to talk. And
fucking creepy, man. Parrots are so creepy when they talk.
And then he says, and quote, in unutterable horror, the man's body began to swell and all manner of excretions and effluvia left his body. So all this gross stuff started coming out of like every hole, basically. The guy swelled up like a giant balloon is what they're saying. Like it just like is how he described it. Is this dude like just started all his skin and stuff just started swelling up and shit started just like spraying out everywhere, I guess.
Like Charlie couldn't have been too. Where violet started turning violet.
Yeah, and then, you know, and probably black goo, like, splaying out everywhere. Yeah, that's pretty close. That's what I imagine it's like. Minus the Oompa Loompas. But it wasn't even done. So after that happened, this guy, his body became completely still. And it began, they said they had him in an iron bed, and his body began to actually weigh down in the middle of the bed. Like they watched the bed like bend inwards and down as this guy's body just seemed to be getting heavier. And they actually had men present who tried to lift them, but they couldn't move him. Like the guy was too heavy, but he still looked like his normal body size. And then suddenly it just went back to normal. Like the bed just went back to
sprung back, came back up, and he was normal weight again.
Right? And then it even got worse after that. So after he got back his normal weight, the abbot began to command the spirits to get out, and the man cursed the person who was being possessed He cursed the abbot one more time in that same voice, saying that he would pay for his life. That he cursed the abbot and told him that this wasn't over and that you're going to pay with your life for doing this. And then the man collapsed, and then he regained consciousness, and he asked where he was. Like, he had no idea what had happened. He had no memory of anything that had happened in the recent past. And the abbot was completely exhausted and had to be helped away to go rest. Huh. It's nuts. Like, this stuff is...
interesting.
This stuff is crazy. Like, it's too widespread, I think, like, this demonic possession stuff to be just, like, just mental things. Because, I mean, there are ways to tell the difference. There are significant differences between multiple personality disorder, because that's usually what you'd think it would be, like when people are talking in a different voice, or, you know, their behavior suddenly changes from one thing to another, which is usually a sign of possession. And usually people are quick to write that off, like a demonic possession, to write it off as multiple personality disorder. But the difference is that people who have multiple personality disorder, most often, they're unaware of the other personas. Like, they don't know that they're there.
It's like a whole different, they don't know when they come out. Brain.
Exactly. It's a whole nother fragment of their personality, but the person isn't aware of it. But possession, most of the people who are admitted victims of possession say are aware that they're being controlled, like, or they have some sort of sense that there's something, there's voices,
something they're trying to take over and control them.
Right. There's some sort of influence on them. They're aware of it.
And there's, like, those cases where they start like speaking Latin stuff with no prior knowledge or exposure to the language.
Exactly. That's one of the ways. They define as being a definite sign, or at least a very good sign that it's a demonic possession, is being able to speak in a different language or in a completely different voice that this person has never done before, or they never studied a previous language,
yeah,
like Latin, and they just start speaking it fluently. That's one way you could go ahead and you could chalk that one up to be like, yeah, we're gonna need an old priest and a young priest right now.
There's not a lot of videos, though, either, of exorcism. There's, like, the one that I could find that's kind of cool is, like, it's like a Muslim exorcism. And they're sitting around this guy, and there's, like, a priest or someone, like, doing a prayer on him. And he's, like, getting more serious. And there's, like, a room. And all of a sudden, this guy in the back kind of just, like, shakes a little bit. And then just starts going buck wild, attacking everyone in the room. And then they're like trying to grab this guy and hold him down while the priest, like, moves over to him. And then it's like a demon was hiding in a different body.
Hmm.
But, like, it looks weird, and it's like, but I'm like, I just don't know how, like, for something that's so widespread, there's so little, like, video.
Yeah, there's not a lot of documentation. Like, I mean, there's plenty of written stuff down. I mean, there's a lot of actual published books by well-known psychiatrists or people who have studied exorcism cases, and at least in the last century. I think the actual, like, interest in demonic possessions, like an actual scientific interest or empirical interest, started around, like, the late 1800s, around when, like, spiritualism got big, like when spirit mediums and stuff like that. I know Houdini and, like, those people were really into it, and that's when it really started getting big, and when people kind of, I think people started to take it kind of seriously when it started popping up.
Yeah, like, maybe there is something going on with it. Maybe it's not all mental or whatever. But when people say demonic, and they start, that's always like a religious thing, right? Like, it's always like angels and demons. But then if there's thousands of religions, right? Like it's got to be, it's something more than just, like, it's not just God and the devil. maybe like I like to think of it more of like thinking about the kind of Freddy Silver waves. There's just like different frequencies of a whole bunch of different, maybe a whole bunch of different reality, like the multiverse, maybe, or something like that, and everything operates on a different frequency. And maybe like there is beings that are higher dimensional and operate at higher frequencies that can like you know what I mean, like pop into our plane, or if they can start, maybe they can control people. Now, like we talked about last time, is like DNA is actually just information. You can upload information to it. Maybe it is something more to do with like a simulation thing, and we're just, you know, some of these people are being possessed are just fucking either bad programming, or they're actually being like controlled from a different, like a different source.
They're being hacked.
Hacked, yeah.
I'm in.
I don't know, because I just, when it's just angels and demons, because I'm not religious at all, and I believe there maybe was a creator, and then all religions spawned off of some central event. But when people say it's like, no matter what religion you're talking about, their creators or their gods, like demonic's widespread, so it can't just be like, it's not just a Christian or a Catholic thing.
Yeah.
It's like a global thing, a global phenomenon that's probably not necessarily religious at all. It's probably just like, from the dawn of the universe, this has been going on. That's kind of what I think. Because like, when it's, religion is just like, there's too many, and everyone thinks they're right. So that obviously, pretty much everyone's wrong, really.
Could you imagine how messed up a T-Rex possessed by a demon would be?
Not just possessing people, actually just possessing fucking... Maybe that's a theory of when, like, you know, like, a bear, like, gets a taste of blood, and it goes on a fucking man-killing spree, kills like 7-8 people.
Yeah, you get those. That's what they had. That's what they thought those.
The lions.
They had those two lions. Yeah, there's two lions.
Yeah,
they had those two man-eating lions that like killed the. They like halted the construction of a railway in Africa.
You know, I'm just debunking myself right now, because I know like
sweet dogs that are like nice to everyone, and all of a sudden just snap and maul someone for no reason.
Then I think though that's just like the way of the wild. If you find easy meat when you're a predator. Like, humans are pretty easy meat, really.
Yeah.
If you're not armed, you just get into that mode and just fucking start eating people. But I don't know.
I go ahead and subscribe to the idea that I like the D&D. I like the D&D demons. It's pretty much like they can't... they can only manifest themselves like full-fledged demons can only manifest themselves about every 100 years. And if you kill them... They come back. You can't actually kill them. You just kind of banish them. You can destroy their physical form, and then they come back, or they have at least a chance to come. They can't come back to the plane that we're on now. Like, they can't come back to the material plane for 100 years, at least 100 years.
They can't come back to our frequency.
Right.
They're banished. Away. So they got. They've been dropped up or down in the fucking chain, and they can't make their way
nine,
back.
There's nine hells.
Right.
There's nine hells, and they go back to a specific one. And each one is ruled over by a different demon lord, and they're all constantly fighting each other.
Makes, you know what?
So they,
it's a cooler story.
That's what if the demons actually managed to unite as one in a single cause, like they would overrun the material plane and destroy the entire universe. But the fact that they're all like terrible, terrible, ambitious assholes and trying to kill each other all the time keeps them in check. Pretty funny. I think that's I like that one.
Yes, that's a good theory. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
What else we got for demons, or possession, or exorcisms?
That's pretty much all I had. I had the one good one, and then how to do it yourself.
Well, to go on the flip side of it, talk about angels. The good and evil. Did you guys hear about the Northern Michigan couple, the fire chief that caught an angel on his security camera?
Nope.
You showed me the picture of it.
Yeah. So, let me just double check here. In Northern Michigan, caught, I think it was just last week or Tuesday, today's Tuesday. Last Tuesday, fire chief Glenn Thorman. On his home's motion sensor camera, actually caught captured a miracle of a spiritual being. And it was, as they saw and have the photo, they believe it was an angel hovering over the pickup truck. And then like the next capture of it, there's not an actual video. It's just like a snapshot. So I don't know whether he personally took screenshots
or whether it was a timer or something.
Or it was a timer and took photos. And then the next photo is of this angel, very similar shape again, flying off now or leaving. So his wife believes and he believes that it was an angel and that the house, it was a sign that their house is blessed and looked over.
It looks
and,
fucking terrifying.
You know what it looks like? If anyone's a familiar of the franchise Diablo, it looks like Tyriel, the Archangel of Justice, whatever it is. It has the fucking wings on the armor, it looks like. He looks fucking badass.
Looks like he's holding a sword in his left hand.
Yeah, what's Tyriel's sword in Diablo? It's fucking Anduin or something shit like that. It looks like they took a screenshot from Diablo. To me, when I first seen it, it looks like they took a screenshot of Tyriel from Diablo.
That's exactly what Ron said.
And fucking put it onto this picture and like just... like pixelated it so you can't quite tell exactly what it is.
But so
it looks bad.
I don't know how many angels actually carry swords, because I'm pretty sure like the only one who's really got one is Michael. Like he's the only one who's got the flaming sword. I don't know how many others. Ones
have you not played Diablo? All the fucking archangels have fucking weapons.
There's a great. I'm watching this video on this site and like the number one comment. I'm going to do this in an accent. That's a fucking moth.
Mate, you're fucking tripping. It's a moth.
Goddamn moth.
Yeah. So some people were commenting saying it's definitely an angel and like the believers, and then of course you've always got your naysayers, and the common one is a moth. And look, you know, I would say that it is a very blurry moth that's going quick, but you can't really see a head on the picture and like that. But have a look. Northern Michigan.
It's definitely a cool photo. But like, yeah. Why do they think that's a fucking angel? Like, what did it do?
Because bless the house. It says he's a fire chief. He's a hero, mate. He's looking after the town and stuff.
It's because he played Diablo when he was in college. And this happened. This picture happened. He just put it on the internet. Just like, I bet you the people believe this is a fucking angel. Because it looks like fucking Tyriel.
Solid.
No, but having said that, if there is... say, because like obviously in this world there is a good and evil like sense, right? You can, no matter like depending on what culture you're raised in and how you're raised, you feel a good
cop,
and evil.
Bad cop.
You always feel like good and evil like in every situation.
Yeah,
like, and usually most of the time, good always prevails. But there's always a time where like some shit happens that's like that should not happen ever, but yet it does. So like if there is like a origin force of good and evil. And you can classify them as, say, angels and demons. Maybe they do have like a little bit of influence in this plane, but it's not from the Bible or from any type of religious scripture. It's from a central, like, the origin, I think.
Well, I think you could chalk it up to the idea, like you said, they could be some sort of interdimensional beings. Like, these things are, I would say, like, almost like parasites or something like that, because like they said in the even in the WikiHow, but I've heard it through
interdimensional parasites. I like that way better. Honestly, way better.
Cracked it.
There's parasites on Earth. Why wouldn't there be, like, you know, it's a fractal universe, right?
Oh, I like that theory a lot.
Right, but it's like it. I mean, when you think about it, they say okay, the best way is to ignore them. They thrive off of your attention. Well, that's almost kind of like quantum theory, where like things like change, and like when you think about it, when something's observed, the behavior changes. So maybe it is something like that, that your attention, your concentration, your consciousness, when you pay attention to something, you give something your mental energy that feeds it, you know? And maybe there are certain organisms or whatever, these beings, they feed on that negative energy. And I know I've had there are other people who talk about this. I know there's plenty of books and literature out there about with theories of beings that, I mean, there's one of the common ones is like the tulpa, which is like a type of demon or spirit from, I think, I'm pretty sure, Tibetan mythology, where it pretty much, it feeds on fear. And whatever you fear most, whatever you think about, it becomes that. So it's kind of like It from, if you've read the book Stephen King, if you read the Stephen King book, It.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, like every worst fear that you have, whether it's a giant spider or it's a werewolf or it's anything, like the tulpa becomes the form. It takes the form of whatever you fear most, and it feeds on that fear. So the more you fear it, the more that you you feed into it, the stronger it gets, the more influence it can exert over the physical realm or you or people's minds or things like that.
It's cool.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of has something to do with that kind of feed, that kind of fits in here, is the idea that these beings, whether I think like if they're parasites or something, they feed on that attention. So you kind of have to ignore them to kind of starve them of it, so they become weaker. Like you just kind of put it in the back of your head. But then again, like some people, I know there have been at least a couple cases like poltergeists and things like that. There's multiple accounts where people try to ignore it and it doesn't work.
Right.
So,
it's probably like anything, is there's no 100% solution.
Yeah.
Burn the house down. Yeah, just fucking move. Burn your house
burn
down.
Burn the house down.
Simple. Yeah, get rid of them. Fire kills everything, right?
It's a form of energy. I would say it would work. Yeah. Electroshock therapy seems to work, so.
Yeah.
Fire could work too.
Yeah, fire just maybe a little more extreme results.
I'm thinking about like, remember what's that like mold spore that like infects ants and then like turns them into zombies and shit?
They're cordyceps. Cordyceps.
Like some sort of interdimensional parasite that affects your like your mental wavelength.
Yeah. Could be.
Who are we to tell what's right and what's not?
Could very well be. I know plenty of people have had. There's probably at least a few listeners out there, a few fans that have had their share of experiences with this kind of stuff, sudden personality changes, things like that. And the weird thing is, it's like you can't say that exorcism doesn't work. I mean, I've read a bunch of articles from academic journals and things like that have done studies on this stuff, and when mental patients are treated with an exorcism, most of the time it works. Like a good majority of the time it works. Like the patient feels better afterwards. And whether that has to do with like the actual rite of exorcism working, or perhaps it just puts their mind at ease and makes them think, it's who to tell, but they feel better afterwards. So I mean, that's the important thing, is just doing that.
I think in that case, it's just like when they do like tests of drugs, there's always a placebo effect. If you believe that what you're taking will fix you,
yeah,
the power of that placebo is like surprisingly strong. So if you are like, if you believe that you are maybe affected by a spirit, and then someone like does an exorcism and you believe that's helping you, maybe that's that same kind of thing. Like you just believe it, and then you can cure yourself of whatever you're thinking.
And that ties back to the whole mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mind is a powerful thing.
Super powerful. And if you're talking about like, if it's actually the quantum thing, if you don't actually think it, maybe it doesn't exist. But if you start getting that like thought in your mind, like maybe it is a demon. Maybe I'm possessed. And then you like just let your subconscious take over, and then like, oh, I'm possessed, and you start screaming in tongue or whatever you're doing.
You learn Latin out of nowhere.
I don't really believe that these people are really screaming Latin. They might scream a Latin phrase or two, is what I think. And that is something, like, your mind remembers everything. You can just never recall it on the spot. Right? So maybe, like, there's
If we talked about, like, information being ingrained in your DNA.
And then you had an ancestor that knew Latin.
Yeah, and you're just like, you're like.
Oh, just like Assassin's Creed. Byron fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, well,
I still think Assassin's Creed's a stupid idea.
Okay, you guys talk about that, and we're gonna.
I just want to play as the assassin, man. I don't want to play as a stupid, whatever ancestor that's running around with his messenger backpack and fucking Nikes.
Fucking Nikes.
It's why I can't play that game. It's why I can't fucking get in those games. Hate them. So angry.
That's hilarious.
Let's start wrapping this one up here.
The demons have been exercised.
We have exercised. You have
the knowledge. To take care of this by yourself. So, you know.
We wanted to mix this one with the false god theory, but we think we're going to do that one alone because that one gets way more interesting, I think. Maybe next time we'll do false god.
Yep. Whatever, man.
Let's go into some new podcast reviews. Podcast reviews.
I thought you meant like reviews of other podcasts.
Yeah. Let me review some other podcasts.
New segment we were going on.
Okay, podcast reviews of our show.
Have you got them? Because Zell's gone.
Yeah, I got some. This one's from Monkey Works, Australia.
That a boy? Oh, girl.
Best by Miles. Wow. Entertaining and educational. These guys sink teenies while exploding your mind with information.
Do you want me to have a crack at that? Or
yeah, what does teenies mean?
I don't have that in front of my face, but these guys are great. What they do is they sink tinnies, e.g. your tin can.
Oh, your tinny.
Sinking tinnies and blowing your mind.
Is this guy really from Australia? Because he says best by miles. Don't you guys use kilometers?
Yeah.
It's a saying. It's an old school saying because we realized that
are you really the metric Australian? System
is better. So that's why we changed. And we like, imperial. What a waste of time. How confusing. So that's why we went to the metric system. But yeah, best by miles.
Do yourself a favor and subscribe. I'm back. 10 stars out of 5.
Oh, wow.
Beyond. This one's just a bunch of emojis, the little prayer, a thumbs up, and 100 by Tessie from the U.S. of A. Digging it.
100, man.
Shout out from UTK. Your podcast is getting me through finals.
What's UTK?
Shout out from UTK. I don't know.
The University of something.
Kentucky?
What about University of the Klan?
Oh, wow.
Kentucky? I don't know.
What? I'm going to type UTK.
I don't know, States.
University of Tennessee.
I said Tennessee.
What?
Byron, Knoxville? Byron nailed it.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee, Knoxville.
Knoxville, yeah. That's what I said.
That one. Best Out There by Banana 329 from the USA. Just listened to all of the podcasts in about two weeks.
Wow.
Now that I have no more, I've been looking for similar podcasts to pass the time. And it's impossible. Nothing compares to you. These guys are a great laugh and really make my mind boggle. Y'all are awesome, excluding Mr. Conspiracy. But keep it up, y'all. Love all the way from Fort Worth, Texas. I thought Mr. Conspiracy, he did pretty good last time. He actually brought a lot of stuff.
He brought some stuff. He had some topics. Yeah. Started some conversation. He was all right.
He's evolving. Right. He's learning.
I'll read one more. These guys are recalculous.
Oh,
what?
By AFH from the USA. I am smitten. I am in deep smit. Totally obsessed with this podcast. This crew does a great job of keeping things funny and educational. Edutainment at its finest.
I don't know about educational.
This is great. In the words of Dr. Ian Malcolm. Hold on. Maybe I can do this. You can do it. I'm trying to figure out how to read this.
You can do it.
Okay, this is going to be my best Jeff Goldblum, Ian Malcolm, to read this next part.
Okay.
In the word of Dr. Ian Malcolm. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's how it always starts. Was that good?
You didn't finish it.
I read the whole thing.
No, then it goes, then there's running and screaming.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. I thought that was a different sentence. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's how it starts.
It's a walking.
Then later the running and screaming.
God damn it. That's so good. We love Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I love him. I do a better Christopher Walken. I started slipping into a Christopher Walken.
Yeah, you kind of went in between. Yeah.
You did slide a little bit.
Sam.
You did walk.
I'll do
the park.
Maybe I'll do this. I'll do one more, and I'll do it all Christopher Walken.
Okay.
Addicted by Granny from the USA. I found you guys last week, and I've been listening nonstop at work. You guys have a great dynamic, and the podcast is very, very entertaining.
Good.
It's great.
Steve Walkings, or
thanks Granny.
Christopher Walkins.
Christopher.
I'm not gonna read any more of those.
No. That's good for this week.
Really good.
Zell, let's get into your prolapser of the week, please.
Prolapser of the week.
All right, well, we have something new for us.
What a legend.
Something new for us this year.
That's all I got to say.
Props.
This is...
He's infamous.
Balls on this guy.
All right, well...
He's a lifer. I got to say that. He's a lifer.
He's a lifelong prolapser now. You can't take it back.
Well, is he a lifer?
Well... Hey, if anyone does this to their body, you're a lifer.
You're a lifer.
And we don't recommend doing it. We're not something like, everyone should go do this. However, this man, Doug Champagne, is the first guy that we've seen a picture of, at least, that got our logo tattooed on his arm.
Kind of. I'm just going to be devil's advocate here. It's Doug close.
Doug Champagne is the prolapse of the week for the effort.
It's the thought that counts.
It's close. I'll say this.
Really
it's
close.
It's real close. But.
If you're going to do that, then just like anything, especially when it comes to tattoos, do some research.
Yeah.
Be 100%.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, if that's what you want, if that Doug Champagne, like, it looks good.
It looks great.
Oh, it is. It's great.
I'm just saying that if you're going for our logo, it's a little off.
You got about 80% there. Let's say 80%.
I'll break it down. I'll break
it's
it.
Pretty good.
I'll break it down for people.
Tell you this. I'll say you've added about 80%.
No.
And then, okay, Zelly, break it down. Break it down. Then we'll break it down.
Describe it.
All right. So, Mr. Doug Champagne, you like the podcast, and you got a tattoo, which is awesome. Like,
good on
that's
you.
Like the ultimate form of like what like.
Pretty great. We're
it's like
flattery.
When people get Metallica tattooed
it's
on their
flattery.
Face.
It's flattery.
They love Metallica. So you must love ATT, and that's awesome with us. However, what we normally say is keep those eyes on the skies. And the logo doesn't usually have this extra little couple extra things on it. Maybe you didn't want a copy because you were afraid of plagiarism. I'm not sure.
But yeah, on Doug's tattoo, it says, keep those eyes in the skies.
No, in the sky. Just sky.
Oh, in the sky. Keep those eyes in the sky.
Which is, it's right.
Close.
He's got
close.
It.
Pretty close.
You
the
know what?
Sentiment is the
I
same.
Will, this is. I'm gonna pretend I'm Doug. This is what's happened here. Doug listened to the moon landing where I was meat draw drunk. And yep. I probably said, keep those eye in the sky.
Probably.
Yes. This is very likely.
And him laughed along with the podcast. He got meat draw drunk and he was looking at our logo with one eye. And then he tried to redraw it in his mind at the tattoo artist because his cell phone died.
Could be.
Tried to call it from memory. Yes.
Anyways, we love it. Like we're like Doug, like you know we like to have a laugh and we love you though. That's awesome. Awesome. Looks great. It's close. It's close enough.
Yeah.
Hey, it's cool. It's the first one. It's the first one someone's got. We do not support, like, don't go put these up, like, don't get tattoos, obviously. Make sure you really decide what you want. But if you,
you
get
know
a
what?
If you get a
you
tattoo
what,
of Elite ATT.
No. I've changed my mind. You know what we're doing? For the whole month of June, that is our logo. We're changing the logo for Doug.
For Doug.
For Doug, the logo from now on in June is that. For the month of June, our logo is Doug's logo. And it's not even, we're not even going to crop that. We're just going to put Doug's arm as our logo.
Okay, just Doug's arm is now the logo of the show.
Yeah. And our new tagline is keep those eyes in the sky. We got your back, Doug.
Doug, you're the man. You're the man, brother.
We got
we love you.
You. We got you, bro. We're on it.
It was pretty funny when it got pointed out. We were all taking a look. Yeah. Because, you know, we're all like, everyone's flattered. We're all very flattered. But then we're all like, tip and toe.
Well, I mean, if you're happy about it, man, that's all that matters.
We're happy,
all
matters. Yeah.
And we're happy about it too. We like it.
I'm impressed.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Doug got that tattoo like that on purpose, just so we would make fun of it. Not make fun of it, but talk about it. He's probably like, I'll get these guys good. I'm gonna make that tattoo just a little bit off.
Yeah. I'm gonna get them talking about me.
Fuck yeah!
Well done.
Well done.
Mm. Was it in Thailand? Yeah. Same, but different.
Mission accomplished.
I don't know where he got it done, actually. I don't know where he's from. Does it say where he's from?
Oh,
Doug
guys.
Doug Champagne, where are you from?
I actually did want to get an ATT tattoo. I wanted to get a little one of just our symbol. Not that symbol. Not Doug's symbol, our symbol.
Doug is from, I'm not going to say the city, but he's from Massachusetts. So he's northeast somewhere.
Yeah. Well, Doug, come to AlienCon and maybe we'll get matching ones.
Fuck yeah.
All right, any other news or anything?
Yes, I could give a quick shout out to our newest patrons.
Oh yeah.
We got Matt Wilson upgraded 1 to 5.
Oh nice.
Good job.
Our boy Matt.
Jack Ocelot.
Keeping the
pledge.
Ocelot. What an ocelot.
Shannon Crawford went up. Katie Parker, pledge $1. Jeremy Stair, also pledged. And woo. those are it since the last episode. You guys are champions.
Get all that extra all right.
Thanks,
brilliant
guys.
Thank
content.
You.
Getting in there. We're doing it. We're just smashing that content into your faces now.
Yeah.
I have so much content, you won't know what to do with it.
Kind of feels like quantity over quality with this one. anything else? Can we wrap it up?
That's it. I think we're going to go after hours here for a bit.
As always, keep those eyes on
in the sky.
In the sky.
Woo!
Woo!
Bet you didn't think this would be the year you achieve the dream of flight. iFly Indoor Skydiving lets you experience the freedom and thrill of flying. No experience or wings required. iFly is fun for people of all ages and abilities, and it's the perfect choice for a night out with friends, family birthday parties, corporate events, or even just celebrating a Thursday. You'll never forget your first time flying. Go to iFlyWorld.com and use code TAKEFLIGHT for 20% off. That's iFlyWorld.com. Code take flight.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about.
That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.